Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Noach, fifth day of the month of Cheshvan. Those of us here in South Florida pretty much felt like Parshas Noach since Simchas Torah, as the rain has barely let up for a moment and the forecast doesn't show any break coming in the near future. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued incredible support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Sunday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Your sponsorships are very much appreciated. On behalf of EOU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Aaron Cement, Mora D'Asra of Congregation Arzei Darom in Teaneck, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Cement slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. These are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishavir Achva Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Cement to learn more about his wonderful community in Teaneck. In addition to being mindful of all of those whom we are davening, praying for, please include in your tefillot and your prayers Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs as well. His Hebrew name is Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. It's Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Sunday's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Cement.
Hi, thank you very much for having me here today, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Noach. You had mentioned that you are in South Florida. I am a boy that was born and raised in South Florida, so being there resonates greatly, and I hope one day that I can join you back in South Florida, so thank you. This week's Parsha, Parshas Noach, obviously discusses the Mabul, the flood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to the world that ultimately would destroy the world as it was known. And interestingly, the Mabul is referred to as Mei Mabul in Sefer Yeshaya, the waters of Noach. The Mabul is referred to as Mei Noach, the waters of Noach. And the obvious question that one has to ask is why would it be referred to as the waters of Noach? After all, it was Noach who was the only one who was a righteous individual. Noach ish tzadik tamim hoya bidorosav. Noach was the one who kept the world afloat for all those years. Noach was the one who was able to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Noach was the one who was able to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, unlike the entire world that was steeped in Avodah Zorah and Gilui Arayos and Chamas. Noach was an or, he was a light. And yet we see that it is referred to, the Mabul is referred to as Mei Noach, the waters of Noach. The Zohar comes and explains and gives an explanation as to why it's called Mei Noach. And essentially he says, because Shehaya lo lehispalel al doro, that it was incumbent upon Noach to daven on behalf of his generation below his palel, and he didn't daven. Difficult to understand. Noach didn't daven out of all of those years that he was building the teva. You mean to tell me he didn't once pick up and daven before Hashem? Is it possible to suggest, can we possibly say that he didn't come and daven not even once on behalf of his generation? And yet the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, Shehoyo lo lehispalel al doro, it was incumbent upon him to daven for his generation below his palel, and he didn't daven. How do we understand, how do we digest the words of the Zohar? Rav Chaim Kamil explains beautifully, and he says that there's two different types of tefillah. There's a tefillah that a person opens up his siddur and he begins reciting the Shmoneh Esrei or the Psukei Zimra or whatever it is that he's coming to daven. And that's a wonderful tefillah. And that's the tefillah that we take upon ourselves each and every day, three times a day. And then there is another type of tefillah. There is a tefillah that is beyond the sitter. There is the tefillah that is incumbent upon a person that's beyond the sitter, that when there are extenuating circumstances, it necessitates, it requires an extenuating tefillah. That's a tefillah that's not mentioned in the Siddur. That's a tefillah that requires a person, if he isn't able to open up the door, if the door of tefillah is closed, you have to take a boulder and you have to break down the door. Indeed, there's no question about it, says Reb Chaim Kamil. There's no question about it that Noach was mispalel. He did daven. But the tefillah was a very calm tefillah. It was a very normal tefillah. It was a tefillah, a typical tefillah that he had done every single day. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you that I'm about to destroy the world, he had to become creative. He had to pick up and find something that would have stirred HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to show compassion to the world. And Noach didn't do that. You see, we find by Chana, when Chana was, she was tzebrochen, she was depressed, she was despondent, she didn't have a child. What did Chana do? Chana cornered HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. Chana came and told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know it says in your Torah that a woman who hides herself with another man and her husband suspects her of being unfaithful, the Torah says that that woman is brought by her husband to the Kohen, and the Kohen makes her drink the Mei Sota. And if she is found to be guilty, then ultimately she will die. But if she's found to be innocent, she's exonerated. That woman will have a child. And therefore, Chana turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I'm going to seclude myself with another man. And I will be brought by my husband to the Kohen. And after I am found innocent of all charges, you will be forced, compelled, to give me that elusive child. That's what Noach was missing. Noach didn't realize it wasn't sufficient enough to simply open up the sitter and begin a normal Shmona Esrei. He had to break down the doors of heaven, pleading, begging, demanding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the world should be spared of that Gezerah Ra, that evil decree. We're obviously living in extenuating times. And as we said, extenuating times require extenuating circumstances. We're living in a world that we've never experienced before. The entire world is engulfed in a pandemic. This requires so much more than simply standing with the sitter open and reciting our normal tefillos. We have to break down the doors of Shemayim. And in that schus, as Chana had done before, unlike Noach, the world will be zoche to a refuah, to a healing, that this pandemic should be a thing of the past, but it's going to be dependent upon us taking extreme measures, davening like we've never davened before. Have a good Shabbos. So now let us begin reciting Chaf Gimel, Tehillim Chaf Gimel 23. Mizmor LeDavid Adonai Roi Lo Echzar Binos Desha Yarbiseni Almei Menuchos Yina Aleini Nafshi Yishoveb Yancheni V'magle Tzedek L'man Neshimo Gam Ki Eilech Begeit Talmoves Lo Yira Ra Ki Ato Yimadi Shifticho Mishanticho Hema Yinachamuni Taroch Lechonai Shulchan Neged Tzorroi Yishanto V'Hashem En Roshi Kotzi Rivoya Achtov V'Chesed Yirtifuni Kol Yimei Chayai V'Shafti Beveis Adonai Li'orech Yomim. Now proceed to Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir Lamalos Esoi Nai El Harim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri Ezri Me'im Adonai Otei Shomayim Boret Al Yitein Namot Raglecha Yonum Shomrecha Hinei Lo Yonum Velo Yishon Shomer Yisrael Adonai Shomrecha Adonai Tucho Yad Minecha Yom HaShemesh Lo Yakeka V'Yorech Ba'Loyla Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra Yishmor Es Nafshecha Adonai Yishmor Tzeitzcho Bo'echa Me'ato V'Yad Olam. Now Kuf Lamed. Shir Hamalos Mimamokim Kirosicha Adonai Adonai Shimakoli Tienos Necho Kashubos Likolotachanunoi Imabonos Tishmaria Adonai Miyamot Kimcho Aslicho Leman Tivorei Kibisi Adonai, Kibso Nafshi, V'lidbaro Ocholti. Nafshi L'Adonai, Mishomer L'Boker, Shomer L'Boker. Yachel Yisrael L'Adonai, Kiim Adonai HaChesed, V'arbe Mofidos. V'hu Yiftes Yisrael, Mikol Avonosov. Now we're going to recite a Mishra Berach for Cholim. We'll first recite for men. Mishra Berach Avosenu, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, Hu Yibarach, V'Yirat Be'ez HaCholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yimalei Rachem, Maleim, Lachlimam, Larposom, Lachzikam, Kayosom, Mishlach Lehem, Erevo, Hashem, Shemayim, Yermach, Rehem, Shal, Gedev, Sof, Shar, Chol, Yisrael, Refos, Hanevesh, Refos, Agof, Hashto, Bagalov, Izman, Karib, Bin Omar, Amen. Now recite for women. Mishaberach, Havoteinu, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Tavu, Shomo, Yivarach, Rafi, Tacholos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yimalei Rachem Aleinu Lachlimam, Nilar Poson, Lachzikam Payosa, Mishlach Lehen, Me'ir, Refuah, Shel Shamayim,
Thank you so much, Rabbi Sement. As we transition into the next segment of our call, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, we're doing well, and we're all in this together. So you know, it's something that we're coming together over, and we're leaning on each other for support and strength during this very, as I said, tumultuous time.
Absolutely. So to get us started, it'd be hard pressed to find a Jew in the world who's not familiar, at least knows of Teaneck. However, I think what's unique about your shul, Arzei Derom, is north of Cedar, of bring, I imagine, to Cedar Lane, a major road in Teaneck. So it's a, I wouldn't even call it the outskirts. It's a whole nother amazing, incredible part of the broader Teaneck community. If you could share with us and give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general.
Okay, so our shul was founded in the year 2001, and my wife and I and our children came in 2004. It's really no different than any other shul that you would find in Teaneck in terms of the type of person that lives here or has moved into our area, except that what I always love about our community is that we live in Teaneck, which is obviously in the heart of it all. Yet it feels like an out-of-town community. We have all of the amenities of living in New York, New Jersey, while still being able to have that feeling of living out of town. It's a close-knit community. We have all different types of people like you would find out of town. We have people that wear, you know, for lack of a better word, black hats, and people that just started putting on a kippah, and everything else in between. So people are close. It's a close-knit community, and we pride ourselves on feeling and providing that sense of family within the shul. So that's a little about our shul, and obviously we have, three minyanim a day, shiurim throughout the week, multiple minyanim actually, and we have a vibrant, place for teenagers and for younger children and adults alike. So Baruch Hashem, things are going well. Thank you.
Amazing. And I've seen it firsthand. I had an opportunity to dab in your shul a number of years ago when my brother's family was living on that side of Teaneck. And it is all very true, and it really is a wonderful community. Rabbi Sement, the world's changed so much. You spoke about it a little bit before. And we're in the middle of it, and we talk about a new normal. We talk about trying to get back to whatever degree of normalcy. But when we think about where we are right now, we're really still in the thick of it. We've seen in various parts of the country an uptick, everyone's trying to figure out what's going to be next. But when you think about your shul, when you think about the broader Jewish community, and we think about change and community change, what kind of communal changes do you anticipate for yours and really the broader Jewish community, but perhaps the time being that we're in now for the time being, and perhaps if we could even dream and fantasize a little bit of a post-COVID-19 world?
Right. It's an excellent question. So I guess the challenges right now, at least for me, is being able to have that central base where we're able to catch up, and that being the shul, that being after shul is over, being able to go down to the kiddush and go over to each and every family and inquire about their week and to see how they're doing and how their children are doing and to actually speak with their children. So to have that, yes, indeed, you make a phone call and you call people, but be able to get a handshake and to be able to see people's faces, even when you're talking with a person in person, but they're wearing a mask and you're wearing a mask. So much of a conversation is facial expression that's lost. So I guess the biggest challenge now is just being able to have that central base and an opportunity to catch up and to inquire and to be seen and to see others, which is so important, especially, you know, when you're in a leadership role, that people should see you and that you should be able to see others and to interact in that way. So that's obviously challenging, and it's also challenging for the community. People are at work all week and they're busy interacting with, you know, with people that don't necessarily share the same values that they do. And the beauty of community and communal life and shul is to be able to have that base that allows you to recharge your batteries and to appreciate how fortunate we are to come to shul, to daven, to sit next to your peer at a shir, a friend, and to be able to socialize in a very a kosher environment, not at a lunch meeting in some, you know, random restaurant in New York City, to be able to enjoy your kiddush and to have families over for Shabbos. So all of that is gone now, or at least on some level, and that's something which is frustrating for many people, and it's because people grow and gain from those experiences. And in terms of post-COVID, I am the ultimate, I guess, optimist and perhaps pessimist in that I unfortunately, I do believe that once COVID is over, unfortunately, things will be back to status quo, will be back to the way it was. And the reason why I say unfortunately is because we can't forget what it was like not to be able to daven in a shul. And we can't forget what it was like not to be able to enjoy a kiddush. And you know, people have very short-term memory. And therefore, when we're going back to the way it was, we're gonna be desensitized. And perhaps we're going to take for granted all the wonderful things that a community has to offer. So, what anyone would do right now to be able, they would sponsor a kiddush for $10,000, going once, going twice, because we haven't had it. Or they what a person would do to be able to dive in the sanctuary without a mask, they'd give thousands of dollars. But once we're in there for a few weeks, our memories start to, you know, they start to be challenged. Our memories are challenged, and then we take it for granted. And perhaps we might talk in shul a little bit more than we should be, and perhaps we'll take for granted that a shir is going on, or that you know we have to appreciate, and we shouldn't throw our garbage on the floor. You know, our children shouldn't throw it in the garbage after a kid is. So on one hand, it's I believe it will go back to the way it was. I really firmly believe that. But on a certain level, it might not be so good, that because by doing that, we might become a little less sensitive to what we lost and now what we have.
Absolutely. Rabbi Cement, thank you so much for being a part of the program today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered l'tova. May the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Yaakov Gibber, the Boca Jewish Center in rainy Boca Raton, Florida. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, meaningful, uplifting, restful, and safe Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.